Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Good morning, world. Happy Monday here on Monday Football Monday on the SB Nation NFL show. A reminder that this show is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That's code SBNNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. As mentioned, this is Monday Football Monday. More specifically, this is the SB Nation NFL show. In case you're new around here, what the hell? Where you been? We talk about the NFL all of the time. You can watch us on the SB Nation NFL Twitter page, Facebook page, or YouTube channel. Or if you're a podcast listener, you're on the go, you're on the run, you're lifting weights, you're making dinner, whatever the case may be, you can subscribe to the SB Nation NFL show wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a rating, write a review. Those things make us very happy. This is Monday Football Monday. We land, obviously, on Mondays. We normally talk about the games that were the day before. This is the preseason. It's training camp time, so we got to get a little bit more creative than usual, which is why over the last few weeks, myself, RJ Ochoa from SB Nation's Blog on the Boys, and our fantastic producer, Rachelle Prevett, we've been having to figure things out. We've been having to kind of think on the fly. We were abandoned, but he has returned fresh off of his month-long hiatus where he locked himself in his apartment playing Fall Guys on his Xbox. I've ruined the entire introduction, which I don't care because he has been gone far too long and I need to see him. I need to hear his voice from SB Nation's Arrowhead Pride, more specifically from the Instagram filter that makes you look ravishing, because he does. It is the one and only Pete Sweeney.
It's good to be back.
How was your Xbox?
I feel pretty good. Well, I was gonna say everything except my hands. I think I might have carpal tunnel from all the Xbox I've been playing over the past month. But it is good to be back, and thank you to everyone who filled in while I was out. I was actually covering the Kansas City Chiefs, but that requires an hour commute north from Kansas City. So I was doing that every day, every Monday that I missed. But I'm back in. I'm strapped in. I won't miss another podcast until probably Super Bowl week as the Chiefs get ready to play what would be the Buccaneers again. So I'm locked in until then, RJ. You got me until then.
I really don't care. I didn't listen to anything you said right there. It's nice to have you back. I will say, Pete, I'm very excited for today's MF double MVP. This is the most objective MF double MVP that we've had in recent time. Look, I'm trying to be fair myself here. All right. Rachelle does a fantastic job, yeah, but she's kind of been, you know, showing a lot of favor to the guest host lately. You know, Michael Peterson shows up, MF double MVP. Rob Stetsker shows up, MF double MVP. Some people are saying, Pete, that Rachelle is tainting the holiness that is the MF double MVP. So today we kind of get to reset, get back to it. And look, maybe I'm risking my MF double MVP vote today, like, to say that. But you know what? It had to be said. You know, it's too important around here.
I feel like when I'm a part of the show, I win like 4 out of every 5. And so I'd like to keep that percentage going. So again, Rachelle, just whatever you've been doing, I think it's been working. Michael Peterson, of course, of AFC West mixtape fame, and I'm glad that he's been on the program. And it's good to be back, and I can't wait to put another MF double MVP award on the mantle. And look,
right there with your cereal box.
I'm almost running out of room now that I look at it, so I'll have to move some things around there.
Two quick things before we get into our stock report on the NFL through 2 weeks of the preseason.
Two things.
Number one, if you subscribe, leave a rating, write a review, that makes us happy. But if you leave a review, we will read it. So I'm going to read a review from Saturday, Pete. This comes after the look ahead episode that Stats and I did following the Deshaun Watson updated suspension. Comes from Uncle B2, titled Look Ahead 101. 5-star rating. Here we go. Always love the SB Nation shows, but BGN is my home team. But I have to tip the cap in a big way to RJ and Stats. I always enjoy their work and specifically salute their very real and nuanced, honest discussion of the Watson situation in Look Ahead 101. It's devoid of hot takes, sincere, and the kind of dialogue that you rarely hear. It's an example of how any opportunity to engage in real person-to-person conversation has value. Cheers and thanks. We work very hard around here, Pete, obviously you know that, to make sure that we provide thoughtful, honest, and real conversations. We all love the NFL, but we all love life and human beings, and so we want to be authentic and have a good time in the process. And so in the spirit of that, it's great to have you back because I enjoy having these kind of conversations with you.
Yeah, everything you said, I agree with.
Second thing, Pete mentioned it. We have a lot of Cowboys and Eagles fans who listen to this show. We've dubbed them officially the NFC listeners. Those who listen to the NFC East mixtape, a production you can hear on any of the four SB Nation NFC East team podcast networks. Just so everybody knows. All right, we're getting ripped off. All right, the AFC West thinks they're cute. The AFC West thinks they're funny. So there will be an AFC West, I was going to say. Xbox West, AFC West mixtape coming your way later on this season, Pete. I'm sure you'll update people over at the appropriate places. You cute little mom and pop
stuff. There's got to be, and I'm not sure about this, so maybe Rachel can tell us at the end of the program, but I believe there has to be a way to get the AFC West mixtape on your Xbox. Right, there's got to be something you could do, some kind of app or something that you could stream it through that. So hopefully that happens for us.
So we are going to get to stock up, stock down in our stock report for the NFL. In the Monday of the third week of the preseason. Goodness gracious, the coffee hasn't kicked in yet. But Pete, you sent this.
What happened to you over the past month? What have the guests done to you?
I've regressed as a human being. I've actually forgotten how to
walk. Someone bring the old RJ back here.
You know what? I don't miss him, if I'm being honest with you. But right as we started speaking, Pete, a big trade in the NFL. Whoa, watch out. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reporting that the Las Vegas Raiders are sending quarterback Nick Mullins to the Minnesota Vikings.
That was me. That was me doing breaking news music, which
that was really terrible.
I mean, we gotta have. I mean,
breaking news is like
not that we're gonna always have a ton of breaking news on Monday morning.
Way to interrupt the trade details. People aren't hanging on every word. No big deal. Good job.
Who's going where?
Nick Mullins headed to Minnesota for a conditional 7th round pick in 2024. Literally the the lowest price that you can pay for somebody. This hurts me, Pete, as a fighting Texas Aggie, because it looks like Kellen Mond not cutting it for Kirk Cousins' backup job. So,
So, Mullins, he can win games. We've seen him win games before in this league. So,
everybody will respect Kirk Cousins one day. My dark horse to win the NFC, the Minnesota Vikings. But, Pete, stock up, stock down. You've been gone. Hit us with something. It can be up, down, whatever, but this is the stock report. We're heading on into Pete's corner up on Wall Street. So if you've got some sound effects of the NASDAQ or whatever going off, let us know and give us whatever. Maybe you're gonna give us like a McConaughey speech in the Wolf of Wall Street kind of thing going on here.
Oh no! So I'm gonna start at the West Coast. The West Coast and get into Seattle. And I think before the preseason began, we were looking at that city. And though Drew Lock is there, I think everyone sort of assumed that it would be Geno Smith's shop.
This is where you're starting. Interesting.
And because look, the quarterback's the number one position in the league. As much as everyone wants to say that Pickett has a chance in Pittsburgh, he doesn't. It's going to be Mitch Trubisky. We know that. I think Seattle really is the only quarterback battle, and Geno sort of has played his way out of being a sure thing, and I think Drew Lock has life. So I'm looking at, I'm starting with the most important position in the league, and though it's not a hot battle, right? We don't look at this particular thing and say, it's not getting the day-by-day coverage. I really think it's the only true quarterback battle in the NFL, and I think it's more alive. So trending up Drew Lock, because I didn't think he had a chance at the beginning of this thing, and trending down for me is Geno.
So you have both directions involved. You have a stock up and a stock down. Most people would just do one, but Pete Sweeney comes back, says, I've been gone too long. Yeah. I'm not here to mess around.
No. There's two happening at once.
Yeah. So you're intrigued by this? Like, you really are legitimately intrigued at who's going to win the Seahawks starting quarterback job? Because, like, I got to say, like, there are a lot of thoughts that run through my brain. This isn't one of the, like, 10,000.
And that's my point of bringing it up and bringing it up first. Like, don't you think, in a way, the only true starting quarterback battle job in the NFL should be getting more attention? I feel like it should be.
I will say, to that point, how often... Because you're talking about just this year, I agree with you. This is the only kind of true battle. Like, Kenny Pickett might play, but this is Mitchell Trubisky's job, you know, for the time being, at least.
It's done. I mean, it's already done.
But to expand upon your point, what was the last battle like that was going on? Like, again, so like, even if you're not just including, like, looking at this year, what was the last time that there was a true question mark, true, like, multiple candidates that could win a job?
I don't know.
And to your point,
like, in Cleveland.
Just like an example that wasn't like an aging veteran who was leaving soon and the incumbent. You know what I'm saying? Like, not like this was not a battle, but like Eli Manning, Daniel Jones situation.
I was going to say Cleveland, and then you said that it didn't count, but it wasn't a part of Hard Knocks, the Mayfield.
I mean, but that was the same thing. It was like the number one overall pick who will eventually play. And that was when we found out it was Tyrod, not Tyrod Taylor.
It wasn't Brissett. It was Tyrod Taylor. That's right. Yes. And then Taylor ended up getting the nod, and there was a little bit of controversy there. But you're right. I can't. What is it?
The answer, and it didn't happen at camp or didn't happen before the season, but it was Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. There was like all the smoke that like maybe he could supplant Marcus Mariota.
That's right.
And then it ultimately did happen. So that's, I think, the best answer. Shout out to me. Again, Rachel, you're the one keeping notes.
Good memory. Good memory by you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, you answered your own question, right? I mean, you're bringing it up. You already have the answer. You really set me up to look bad there, because I couldn't think of it. You knew the answer. And so keep that in mind, Rachel, as he's doing this little dirty play thing to get the double MVP.
Okay, that's fine. I will say, not a battle, but I do think it's interesting. So, like, if you rewind a year, right? And I agree with you. It's amazing how, like, juiceless this particular quarterback battle is, that the only thing we've talked about when you brought up the subject is literally everything else. But I do think it's funny that a year ago, Drew Brees is retired. It's like, oh my gosh, what are the Saints going to do? Taysom Hill is a factor. Like, have you heard Taysom Hill's name once this offseason, this training camp time? Like, it is amazing how, like, insignificant he is. It's truly like a reflection of it being a Sean Payton thing.
Remember the smoke about him being the next Steve Young?
Yeah.
Well, that was real, right? They were really saying that. And now there's no question about him just reverting to this tight end / running back receiver sort of weapon.
I mean,
and he's a good one.
It's that job. That if you want to like talk about a job, it's either it's going to be Jameis's, but if it's not Jameis, it's going to be Andy Dalton, my guy. So
yeah, I know you are a big Dalton guy.
I am so excited that you brought this up. You're starting the lawnmower for me. The Cowboys play the Seahawks. You didn't do the first part. You got to like do the pulling. Are you driving a Formula One car? Is that what this? I am so not pumped to see a lot of Drew Lock. The Dallas Cowboys host the Seattle Seahawks on Friday night in the preseason finale.
Ooh,
and so
baby.
Drew Lock obviously tested positive for COVID, didn't play last week against the Bears. So this is the like Drew Lock game. So
I'm hoping that he can lock up the job against the boys.
All right. Well, you cheated and went with a stock up and stock down. I'm ready to go with a stock up. So while you were gone, Pete, I experienced a lot of emotional turmoil. All right. Now, I've had my moment with the Bills, and it came from a place of love, right? Where I was upset about the complaining about the coin toss and blah, 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 sure, et cetera, et cetera. I stand by the, you know, that objective point, but this is my team. This is my pick to win the Super Bowl. It's my AFC squad. It's going to be my franchise team on Madden. I'm all in. Circle the wagons, baby. RJ is here for the Buffalo Bills. That being said, stock up. I thought about going the Bills as a whole. But I'm just going to say Josh Allen, but I think the Bills are having about the best things are going the way they're supposed to go for a team that's supposed to challenge for the Super Bowl. Right. And that's like, it's all through the prism of context that is the preseason and training camp and things like that. So you can't, you know what I mean? You can't draw any like hard conclusions from what is happening, but of the things that are supposed to be happening at this point in time, if you're a team who is supposed to challenge for the Super Bowl, I think it's going pretty well for the Buffalo Bills. They obviously had their way with the Indianapolis Colts last week, exposing a fraudulent team. I was the first person to call the Colts out for being frauds this year. No big deal. And they basically had their way with the Denver Broncos this past weekend. Josh Allen, 3 for 3, 45 yards and a touchdown. Again, we're talking about three throws. But Case Keenum, 16 of 18 for a 192 and a touchdown. I mean, like, everything is moving. Everything is jiving for the Bills right now. The energy is good. And obviously it's the NFL. All you need is like one big huff and puff from the big bad wolf to kind of change the winds of energy. But right now, I don't know how you don't feel this is such a magical time. If you're a Bills fan, you have to feel like this is it. This is the year. Granted, there are still bigger, badder wolves prowling in the AFC streets like Patrick Mahomes. But you have to feel really good. The stock is appropriately up for the Bills right now.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you look at the AFC and even on the defensive side of the football, when you go in and get Von Miller, and it was already a really good defense, and now you're sort of bringing that championship swagger to the defensive side of guys who have done it before. And then on the offensive side, and someone that's hot in the fantasy community in Gabe Davis, who a lot of people like, is backing it up in the preseason, right? You only get so many snaps from what are going to be the starters in the preseason. So when they're making the most of those limited snaps and backing up just ridiculous hype, which I've had a problem with for a team that's won nothing. But I can't disagree based upon what we've seen this preseason.
Mm. Did you see that Josh Allen and Russ Wilson had the jersey swap? I don't know if you saw like after this game, because you know, obviously Broncos Bills. And right. So there was a photo that was shared. Allen, so obviously they signed their own respective jerseys to give to the other player. Allen signed his jersey for Russ with the hashtag Let's Ride. So he's in on it, you know?
Josh Allen has become self-aware. I got to tell you, I don't know. I don't even know if this is a stock up or stock down thing. And
I would like to go next. I'm sorry. I would like to go next if you would allow me.
Wait, I just have a quick point here. But
No. Okay, fine.
I have a quick
make a little point.
I feel a little bit jaded because, you know, he left my Hawks, but he's going above and beyond to really lean into the Denver Broncos and their culture. And he's got a new slogan. Like, I don't know, stock down on slogans. I feel like Let's Ride. I mean, maybe just because I cover the Kansas City Chiefs, it's more annoying to me. But I feel like Let's Ride is already annoying. And it's we haven't even had one regular season game yet.
So back when the Alliance of
stock
American
down
Football-
the Let's Ride.
Back when the Alliance of American Football was a thing, I did the pre- and post-game show at ESPN San Antonio for the San Antonio Commanders. So this offseason, another team takes the Commanders' name, right? So, like, that's one thing kind of, like, you know, encroaching on our territory. My co-host for those pre- and post-game shows is a guy named James Pledger. And in Pledge, as we would end every pregame show, no joke, you know, I would close this out, and he would always, as we threw to the game, would go, "Let's ride." So, you know, Pledge kind of feels like, man, Russ is stepping on my stuff right now. You know, it's been a bad offseason for trademark copyright. You know, we've got Let's Ride. We've got Commanders. We got the AFC West mixtape. I mean, there's a lot of infringement happening here on a lot of different levels. But are you ready for me to go next? I have another stock up.
Go ahead.
Okay. So RJ's talking about the Buffalo Bills. All right. A lot of people talking about Joe Burrow. Appendicitis. I had appendicitis, by the way, Joey. You and I were cut from the same cloth. All right. A lot of people talking about, you know, the Steelers and Trubisky and Mike Tomlin never had a record below 500. A lot of people talking about the Broncos, to your point. A lot of people talking about the Raiders right now, although now they're void of Nick Mullins. So that does kind of, you know, stock down right there. I would posit to you, this is the best situation that Patrick Mahomes has ever been in. This is the least amount of attention that has basically ever, maybe since 2018, you know, there was hype, obviously, like, you know, heading into his first full year as starter, but, you know, it was never anything, you know, that matched. You tell me what came afterwards. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is truly camouflaged. Like, how did that happen? Like, we talk a lot about, like, you know, somebody so overrated to become underrated or vice versa. Like, Patrick Mahomes has now kind of subsequently become underrated because of all the, like, and I think some of it is just like people like naturally become disinterested in something that's the face of a lot of things. I'm sure that's a point you've talked about a lot. I know you've talked about it a lot with the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. There's like Chiefs fatigue. like, we forget that, that Mahomes is still brilliant. I think he has flaws, which is like an unpopular thing to say to any Chiefs fan. No, he's infallible. He's perfect. He's amazing.
It isn't unpopular nationally. People love to say that the greatest quarterback of all time through 5 years has flaws. Yes, it's unbelievable. But
okay, again, like, it's that's the thing that annoys people, Pete. Is it's the like greatest
it's
impossible to dub him the greatest quarterback of all time. It's in, like, I don't want to have this
5 years. It's impossible. 5 years,
it's impossible
the
to
best
dub him
quarterback
that.
Ever.
Anyway, the point is he has become he is camouflaged in the wild waiting to pounce. I don't care that he doesn't have Tyreek Hill. I really don't. The Chiefs have slipped by everybody somehow, some way. George Karlaftis looks awesome. I mean, he looks amazing. And so like, again, Patrick Mahomes is kind of emblematic of the Chiefs as a whole, the kind of way, you know, Josh Allen was for me with the Bills. But man, dude, I have never felt better about the state of the Chiefs. You know, it feels like everything has, and again, you tell me, and I'll wrap up my point here, like, has been exhausting. Like, it was either like in 2018, it was about like establishing, like, get, you know, taking the ring to Mordor, delivering upon the chosen one and the promise. In 2018, it was all about defending. And then in 2020, it was all about redemption. I'm getting my years wrong here. 2019 was about the chosen one. 2020 was the defending. 2021 was, okay, now we have to really defend our pride because we couldn't properly defend ourselves in the Super Bowl. So now it's like, you know what? All expectation is gone. Let's just go be great. And I think that's a really exciting thing.
Yeah, I don't know. They've even fallen off in the books, which surprises me the most, because I think Las Vegas is typically smarter than this. And so, I mean, I've just been, you know, telling folks, especially in Kansas City, covering them locally, if you want to bet on them now. Bet on Mahomes for the MVP. Bet on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, win the AFC, yada yada. Not to say that it's going to happen, but I just think we're going to get to Week One, and I'm telling you, I mean,
you're the one telling me, but just,
yeah, and I'm glad that you brought it up and not me, because then I could kind of talk about this without feeling bad for this league-wide show. But they're going to go to Arizona and they are going to smack the Cardinals Week One, and then everyone is going to be back saying the Chiefs are dangerous. So this is going to last three more weeks, and there is going, it's going to be a 2-3 score victory, and that'll be it, and everyone will be back in on the Chiefs. So again, if you're someone out there and you want to get the value, and I know sports betting is legal now, go get it, DraftKings Sportsbook, and make your bets, because the odds are only going to go down from here, and then you got 3 weeks left. So.
I also think, not that anybody like totally cares about this, but obviously there's a large sector of people that care. Like, my fantasy draft league of record is next week. Super pumped. Like, even I feel like Chiefs are even kind of slipping. Like you mentioned, like there's Gabe Davis pop, there's Joe Burrow pop. You know what I mean? There's Jamar Chase pop. Rightfully so for all these players. But like, somebody's like, in leagues all over the country and all over the world, people are gonna get Travis Kelce cheap. People are going to get Patrick Mahomes cheap. You know, people are going to get, I would even posit, relative to the production that they're going to ultimately yield, they're going to get, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster cheap, Marcus Valdes-Scantling, Sky Moore. I mean, whatever the case may be, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, they're going to be some big returns on investments, I think, for the Chiefs in a lot of different ways. Not just from a monetary or betting standpoint or fantasy, you know, climate, but to your point, from an overall landscape as well, if you do bet on that, fine. But, like, they're going to over-deliver. I don't know that I think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl, but I know that they're going to be firmly in the mix, and it feels like people have forgotten that.
It's been the Bears and Washington, so you have to say that to be fair here, but Mahomes has had 3 drives, and they've scored 3 touchdowns. So, like, you know, you talk about stock up in the preseason. Can't do better than that. So,
support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Your next one, Pete. Your first one was stock up and stock down. So I would ask you to pick a direction here.
All right. So mine is a little bit more of a this is a more of a stock down situation. And I know I joked at the beginning there, and I was just kind of being playful about how the Chiefs and Bucks are going to be in the Super Bowl. I think the Buccaneers in general feel like it's a stock down situation because, you know, you lose Jensen and then you have this very odd hiatus for Tom Brady. And you know, you got to be careful about even talking about this because you don't really know what's going on. I mean, we have no information about why he left.
Reportedly back today, though, the day we're doing this Monday.
Back today. Right. But I just feel like the Bucs were this surefire favorite, even in a, you know, crowded NFC that with the top there with you have the 49ers, the Packers, and of course the defending champion Rams. And I don't know. I think this weird offseason slash losing such a pivotal piece of your offensive line and then now you have Brady returning. I just feel like I'm less sure about the Bucs through this weird preseason. You know, you don't know about Godwin and how the defense is going to hold up again. And I don't know. I just feel, generally speaking, that the feeling in Tampa is just not as sure at maybe the beginning of the preseason when Brady was just back. You know,
it does feel like this is the, you know, the first, like the honeymoon. I wouldn't say the honeymoon phase is over for the Bucs. Like, you know, Brady shows up amid the pandemic, so it's difficult to kind of like feel like it's real. You know what I mean? There's not really.
And you had that confirmation that he wanted to be in Miami, right? Too, and it's
well. And then over the weekend, there was the Dana White thing that surfaced, yeah, about, you know, Brady and Gronk heading to the Raiders. Like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, right, he shows up in 2020, and I maintain that, like, I remember at the time thinking, like, man, you know, obviously, like, you know, everything about that year sucked. But I mean, if you're a Bucs fan, like, just talking about the simplicity of football, like, man, that kind of sucks, right? Like, we have the greatest quarterback of all time on our roster, and, you know, we can't even go see him, right? Like, I can't go to a Bucs game, go see Tom Brady play for my team, whatever. And then they win the Super Bowl, of all things, and they do it in Tampa, right? And so, and then, you know, he comes back and everything's kind of awesome, and you've now become this, like, hotbed, the Buccaneers, as I so eloquently dubbed them once upon a time. You know, like, all these free agents, everybody wants to come here. You're the kind of, like, belle of the ball. And so, like, all that energy has, like, faded. So in addition to, like, all that energy faded, Chris Godwin's coming off the ACL. You know, Gronk's not back. You got a new head coach, that kind of changes things up. And then to your point, so like you're dealing with all those factors, and now it's like, well, Brady kind of wanted to go to Miami, right? We hate Miami. We're all about Boca Raton around here. You know, he wanted to go to the Raiders, a different pirate. You know what I mean? Cheat on us with a mascot of a similar, yeah, cloth. I mean, like, it's just, it feels like, I mean, like.
And look, dude, it's so clearly the last year, right? Like, mm-hmm, this is nothing to do with, like, this is nothing like The Last Dance, but I'm just talking about that last year where, like, all the Bulls are just like, this is it. This is, I mean, and they were able to get the title, and what a great documentary it was. It, much more short-lived, much different, right? But this is so clearly the last Brady Bucks year, and it was cool that the Bulls were able to do it knowing going in, this is our last chance, but, like, you hate to say it, you know, for these Tampa fans that do love the Bucks, like, this is it. I mean, and he's done after this, and rarely does it work out where it ends in glory, because it just, that type of feeling doesn't usually pan out in pro sports. And I mean, I think Brady will continue playing next year. I just know that it won't be for Tampa. So that's the feeling I get right now. And it's just, it's weird. And I just don't think they're a sure bet anymore.
I agree with you. And like, shout out to the Buccaneers fans, obviously, but, like,
right,
I think that the, like, terrifying thing is, I'll take the Saints as an example. The Saints were just disgrace before Sean Payton and Drew Brees arrived, obviously, in 2006, right? So I'm kind of interested, right? Like, what do they look like now? Yeah. Do they return to the cellar? You know what I mean? Or, like, have they built a culture that's going to sustain itself? Whatever. The Bucs were not great. You know what I mean? Like, the Bucs were kind of this, like, you know, joke of a team. Like, nobody really, you know, never played on national television. You know what I mean? Like, they've had a really big glow up. You know, they were on Made by MTV, and now, like, but. You know, after this year, the MTV cameras are leaving, you know, leaving the school, leaving whatever.
It goes right back to, and look, like, when Brady retired, you had players that, like, Fournette didn't want to be a Buck anymore, if you remember. I believe Carlton Davis also didn't want to be a Buck. And then Brady comes back, and then suddenly the party continues. But, man, this has a time limit, and it sucks for Bucks fans. This is it. Like, so just, you know, and I hate to be that guy, like, I'm in Kansas City, and Patrick Mahomes is going to be here for 10 years, but this is it, you know, for a long time. So relevancy can be short-lived, and unfortunately, I just feel that in Tampa right now.
I agree. You're right. I mean, it feels very obvious this is, like, the end of this era So yeah, I mean, enjoy the ride at the very least. That's the real ride, not the one in Broncos country. I'll move on. Stock down for me. I've been picking on the Colts a lot lately. I don't feel bad about it, but yeah.
Lately, I mean, this has been an off-season mission that you have to tell the world how fraudulent the Indianapolis Colts are.
I mean, I'm not, you know, above saying it's been a mission. I've been trying. Look, I consider it a responsibility here, Pete. You know what I mean? We have a platform. We have to use it for good. So, you know, doing that.
As a known Ballard guy, I do take a little bit of offense, but I'm not gonna get in your way.
Wow. Anyway, so moving on from that, I thought about making the Cincinnati Bengals a stock down just because, like,
Bengals.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know. I'll do it. Bengals are a stock down for me because, like, it's so difficult to like return, right? If you've lost the Super Bowl, it's so difficult. I mean, kudos to the Chiefs for being competitive after losing the Super Bowl. I've maintained for many years, I was always out on the Falcons and always out on Dan Quinn. But I thought one of the most impressive things I've ever seen in the NFL was in 2017 when the Falcons not only made the playoffs after the 28-3 Super Bowl, but they won a playoff game. They beat Sean McVay's Rams in the following season. And like, so they not only, you know, overcame the odds of like losing the Super Bowl, they lost the Super Bowl in the worst way humanly possible. You know what I mean? And they still managed to come back and be legitimate. So I'm just like, the vibes aren't great with the Bengals. And like, to inject my own, not bias, but just perspective, they signed Lyle Collins in the offseason. No issue with that. Totally makes sense. But he's had some weird, like, is he there? Is he not there? He had a non-football thing, and hopefully everything's all right there too. But like, I just like, the regression to the mean is likely coming. And I'll look this up while you speak on it, unless you know it off the top of your head. But I saw the other day something about Joe Burrow's production in December, something like, again, I'm about to confirm this, but something like 58% of his like statistical production came over the final month of the season. You know, like they got insanely hot, and good for them, and they almost rode it to a title. But like, the idea that that's just going to sustain itself all of the time now just doesn't make sense to me.
I just don't agree. And I think In the world of disrespect, the Bengals are the Chiefs' cousin in this. Where,
oh my gosh,
I'm so sick of.
I'm not down on Burrow. I'm just down on the Bengals as a whole. Like, he's trying to lift 100%. An organization out of some mud. I mean, the Bengals aren't exactly known for doing good things.
Even in the topic of like quarterbacks, to an extent, Mahomes, and I don't think Mahomes gets enough respect because I think he's so clearly the best. But he's always mentioned, and so is Allen, and they talk about Brady and Rodgers, and I don't think Burrow even gets consideration with like a Herbert or a Prescott of like, who do you want to start your organization with? Burrow doesn't get enough respect in that conversation. I think he's already there in what is the top five and the elite. And I just look at this team as a whole, and their main weakness, right, was the offensive line. That was the injury, and they've slowly rebuilt this thing. They added a center. You mentioned Collins. They fixed the right side of that line. It's trending, I think, up, and this was a team that looked so clearly like the best team in the AFC at the end of the season. Like, to be down on the road in the AFC title as much as they were, and to storm back, and then to literally almost win the championship. They were winning late in the fourth quarter had it not been for that drive by the Rams. So like, I don't know, I feel the other way about them, and not maybe that it's not a stock up, but I just think they're so clearly under talked about for the team that was in the Super Bowl. Why? Because it's hard to repeat. Yeah, sure. But like, they're young and they fixed their main weakness after being a Super Bowl team. I don't know. I feel the other way about the Bengals.
I mean, I suppose it's fair to argue the same way I did for the Chiefs for the Bengals. But so this was I couldn't find the stat, but so I just did it myself. Starting with the Chargers game that they lost, by the way, they got actually blown out by the Chargers. That's 41-22. Joe Burrow, and I've just looked at yardage here. So again, the when I saw this, it was in a fantasy related article. Joe Burrow threw for 300 yards that day, 348 against the 49ers, which they lost. They lost that game as well. 157 against the Broncos. They did win that game. Then the big blow up, 525 against the Ravens. And that was, by the way, not against the Lamar Jackson led Ravens, and not that Lamar is playing defense or anything. And then, as you recall, 446 yards against the Chiefs in that big win near the end of the season. Those five games totaled for almost 40% of his overall production from a yardage standpoint. Again, like I realize we're looking at a microscopic thing. I'm not trying to take away from Joe Burrow. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But I just like, that's a huge blow up. That's a, you know what I mean? That's a huge like inflation right there. And so, and maybe it was the beginning of something sizable. Maybe it was the beginning of like the new norm for him. But like, I mean, we've talked, I know for example, again, to use the Cowboys, Trayvon Diggs isn't getting 11 interceptions this year. Micah Parsons isn't going to have 1,000 sacks. Like, there's regression to the mean coming. And if regression to the mean comes for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, just in a normal standard way, not that that makes them bad or poor. I mean, I don't know. It's the Ravens division as far as I'm concerned.
As far as quarterbacks and receivers go, like these duos, quarterback, wide receiver, who are you taking instead of Burrow and Chase in the league, though? Seriously, like Evans and Brady?
No, right? Like, I'm not taking that. No.
I mean, Kupp and Stafford. You're a little weak there.
I would take Allen and Diggs over them.
I would not.
Well, you're wrong.
I would not.
Daniel Jones and Kenny Golladay. I think
CeeDee Lamb and Dak. Right. That what about that? Well, what about what they're cooking? Little Dallas cooking.
So I mean that's not a I'm not going to be the one to say that, but like there's a very 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 loose argument.
I like Dak and CeeDee Lamb. I mean I'm joking here, but I just the point is I wouldn't take anyone.
I think that I think the next tier to just answer the question are Dak and CeeDee, Carr and Devontae. Granted, that's a bit of a question mark, like an unknown thing at the NFL level. And then a super dark horse is Lance and Debo. If you're talking about wide receivers, but if we're counting tight ends, then I'm taking Mahomes and Kelsey.
Well, we're not. I'm just saying.
Well,
receiver,
I mean, why not? He catches the ball.
I did that on purpose because I didn't want to even bring that up. But I'm telling you, you named the one that is closest, and people will argue for Allen and Diggs. But I think the answer, as far as quarterback receiver tandems, is Burrow and Chase. And like I particularly don't think it's that close in the NFL.
Maybe the stock isn't down. That's why I did struggle with it in my defense. If you check the tape, but it's like stagnant stock. You know what I mean? Like it should be ascending. You're right. It is ascending from a roster building standpoint, but the person who they brought in, and granted, I don't have a problem with that. It made sense. Like there is some still question marks about Lyle Collins, right? Like, and what's his like status there. So I just don't know. Again, like they're fighting a lot of history, right? It, as a whole, in terms of being the team that loses the Super Bowl, they're fighting the like Bengals-ness of this all. They're fighting regression of the mean from individual standpoints as far as Burrow and Chase are concerned. I think that's fair. Like we're 2 weeks away from, you know, every national show, whether it's radio, television, or otherwise, making their Super Bowl picks. And there's going to be a lot of people taking the low-hanging fruit that are the Bengals. I just don't see it. I mean, personally.
I do not. I mean, I don't think that that's true. I don't think that that's true. I think a lot of people are going to be taking the Bills. I think you'll see some Chargers mixed in. For some reason, the Chargers are always this weird darling of national reporters. I even think you might see some Raiders and Broncos picks, and mostly Bills. Honestly, it's going to be mostly Bills and not enough Chiefs, not enough Bengals. In my opinion.
Okay. All right. So next one for you. Let's each do one more.
Okay, I have a trend up, and it to
stock
me,
up.
And
Pete,
it,
stock up is the name of the episode. Stock up.
Trend stock. We're riding it. We're riding high on. This has been a little bit of the laughing stock,
nice,
of the off season, in what has been Joe Judge and Matt Patricia and how they're running the offense, and it's been really, I think, sort of a joke that everyone makes. Everyone's laughing about what the Patriots are doing. And, you know, I think to an extent it's not deserved. Like Bill Belichick deserves the benefit of the doubt, even though this is a really weird move. And on Friday, Mac Jones had two tough 3-and-outs. And then all of a sudden it really turned methodical with the 45 yarder to Nelson Aguilar, 10 plays, 81 yards, a Ty Montgomery touchdown. And I don't know. All of a sudden, I just think that, you know, so much is made about, as we've been saying all episode, really, it's been like a Bills filled episode where the Bills are just going to win the NFC, or the Bills are going to win the AFC East. It's not a question. They're just going to ride their way to the Super Bowl. It's hard for me to count out the Patriots, and it's so key for Mac Jones to no longer, in my opinion, be a rookie and to be sort of settling in and to understand that that's a pro. Like we watched him in the Pro Bowl, where he had that moment, and he's so comfortable now in his own skin that he does the gritty and he dances and stuff like that. And like, to me, I think about that, and I know it's a dumb moment in a dumb game. I don't like the Pro Bowl. But I just think that moment's important. Like, he's got a swag about him now, and he's not a rookie anymore. And I think this is a Patriots team that lives off of defense, can win ugly games. And if this offense is okay, slightly above average, like, you might blink, and we might get to the point of the season where there's four games left. And maybe the Bills and Patriots are a lot closer than we think. And I think there's a little bit of a trend up for the Pats offense and thus the Patriots program as a whole.
Interesting that you would hate on the Chargers in this episode and boost up the Bills' top competitor in their own division. Interesting.
Well, that one of those teams made the playoffs.
I agree. You've been gone forever, but I have said that too. Like, I've long thought the idea that, like, Joe Judge and Matt Patricia are going to be the offensive coordinators. Like, dude, if anyone has, like, and I don't think we should, like, ever, like, blindly trust anyone on anything. But I mean, this idea that, like, we're, like, everyone who, like, made jokes about that fell right into the Belichick trap. Like, the dude is so mysterious on purpose and vague on purpose that, like, all he did was create enough conversation about that so he could just keep working and you know, do what he wanted to do in secret. He's the thing he is truly, truly, truly elite at is being able to keep a secret to himself and not seeking out attention, which is something that, you know, most of us are not capable of doing. We all have to let the cat out of the bag somehow, some way. He doesn't care. So I've never thought it was like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen here, whatever. I definitely think their stock is up overall. I think the Devontae Parker addition has been one of the more underrated things to happen over the offseason as a whole. I mean, I like the Patriots. I mean, like, it's difficult to count them out. They're the Patriots for a reason. And so, yeah, if Mac Jones experiences any kind of elevation in year two, I mean, I don't know how you don't think they're a playoff team. I don't know about the division, but I mean, they're a playoff team. Also, you take the low-hanging fruit narratives. I don't know if you saw this. Mac Jones has a picture of the blowout loss to the Bills hanging in his locker. Did you see this?
I did not see that part.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of lame in sports cliche, but you know what I mean? Like everything is going the way it's supposed to go. Back to, like, my Bills point. You know what I mean? Like, it's just that they're the team, like, back on the rise. They have successfully turned themselves into an underdog, and now they're riding that narrative as well.
I agree. I don't know. Bill Belichick, right, when they had the Belichick-Brady split, and if you listen to MFM, you've heard me make this point before. Brady could pick any team he wanted, I guess, besides the Raiders. And he found a team that was pretty complete and was able to win a Super Bowl. It's hard to just blink as a coach and just be right back there. And I think, you know, he needed that year and he's developed Mac. And if Mac is the guy that he thought he was when he drafted him, this should be the year where you start to see him solidify himself as the next guy in New England. And let's look out for the Patriots. You're right. It's crazy that this most successful franchise is sort of under the radar again, but they are. And I think they like living there.
People are so consumed with the newness of the Chargers and the Bengals. To your point, like, I think some people are, like, with me, like, the Bengals, you know what I mean, whatever, that they have forgotten about the Chiefs. They have forgotten about the Patriots. By the way, on the subject of the Chiefs, I thought about something when I was laying in bed and I couldn't fall asleep. It must be cool to be a Kansas City fan, like, if you're like, you like all the teams there, because the Royals and the Chiefs both have logos with the KC on it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they both, like, ride and rep for the KC. You know what I mean?
This is,
like,
something I'll tell you about Kansas City. And have you ever been to Kansas City?
I have not. I really don't care. The barbecue, whatever. It's miss me with it. Yeah.
Right. So it's an interesting city, right? Like, so in New York, I grew up in New York.
Spreading the news.
Yeah, that's right. Little Frank. No one really wears the I Love New York stuff. It's more like people who visited New York and they leave with that shirt. Kansas City, people in Kansas City feel like Kansas City is underrated as a city, and they wear KC stuff everywhere. Like, it's not just the Royals and the Chiefs stuff. Like, there's this company called Charlie Hustle that has, like, a KC on it.
KCMO?
I've never seen a city wore so much. I've never seen a city, like, almost lean into almost like the touristy, like, we're representing our city in the city. Like, so many people wear KC stuff here.
To be fair, it's somewhat popular among, like, big metropolitan areas. Like, the Yankees and Mets both have, like, NYs. The Giants have an NY. The Jets,
I'm talking about even past.
I know, but, like,
logos.
I was actually, the game I was playing in my head was trying to identify cities where that at least the professional football and baseball team both had the city's, like, initials on their logo. So New York's obviously there. Kansas City's there. LA, Obviously, you've got the Dodgers and, you know, the Rams. Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, the Lakers have the L, but it doesn't really have like the A as prominently.
Right.
San Francisco has the Niners have the SF, and obviously the Giants as well. So both Giants involved in letter themed sort of things. I think the Rays have a TB logo. So, I mean, like the Bucks don't. But I mean, you know, I would. It's just cool.
Weird thing to be thinking about in bed. You know,
I mean, I was, you know, instead of counting sheep, that's what I do. I have one last stock mm-hmm. up and then we'll do MF double MVP. It's a weird one, but you know, just go with it. The USFL stock up. All right, now.
Oh, up. You're saying up.
Yeah, stock up for the USFL.
Okay.
Kevontae Turpin had a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Turp.
And a punt return for a touchdown on Saturday night.
Turp down.
Against the LA Chargers. He is the reigning USFL MVP. I don't know if you know this, actually. The Cowboys.
MVP.
The Cowboys have signed the last two USFL MVPs, Kevontae Turpin now and Herschel Walker a long time ago.
Hersh.
So this is good pub for the USFL. I mean, like, seriously, like, you think, like, you know, I think we're past the point. Like, there's been so many, like, upstart spring football leagues. Ultimately, they're a good thing, and they provide opportunities and football to watch in the spring if you're aching for it. But this is good juice for the USFL. Hey, our reigning MVP is now a member of the Dallas Cowboys and is a very visible and high-level contributing member of the Dallas Cowboys. Like, big pop for the USFL. You know what I'm saying? Like, and for their year two coming back and whatnot. So, yeah, good.
As a
XFL's big, jealous. That's all I'll say.
Dwayne Johnson fan, quite honestly. I'm team XFL, but I'll give that one to you. Sure.
All right. Shout out to me. Shout out to you. Shout out to The Rock. Rachel, if you could join us and first of all, give us a stock up, stock down for anyone you'd like. Maybe anyone in the world.
What the race is cooking.
So a stock up, stock down. And then who is your not USFL MVP, but your MF double MVP?
Okay. So for my stock up, I went with Commanders running back, Brian Robinson.
Antonio Gibson.
I drafted Gibson on Friday.
Way to ruin Rachel's point. She had the floor.
Tell the story. I'm sorry, Rachel. I draft Gibson on Friday in my Kansas City league with a lot of my friends who like to brag about this thing. I go to Arrowhead on Saturday, and I'm sitting in the press box, and I go, "That's Gibson on kick return. What did I do? Like 12 hours ago, I drafted you, sir, and now look at you on kick return." I'm sorry. Continue, Rachel. I just had such a defeated feeling in the press box. I was like, oh God, he's on kick return.
Remember this, Rachel, in a few minutes. But
no. I like that he shared something that added to it. But thank you. No, I was just gonna say, like, I think that the competition is definitely there for that primary ball carrier spot, and so for everybody who's riding on Gibson, it just kind of looks like it might not be looking like it's going in his favor based off of the running backs like preseason usage for the Commanders. So I'm going to go with stock up Brian Robinson.
Okay.
I'm deflated.
Yes. Deflated. And for today's MF double MVP award, first I want to go and say the points that I thought were strong for both sides, because you both did an incredible job. I was a little disappointed, Pete, that you came out. I thought you were going to come out strong. You know, you've been missing a few weeks. I didn't think the first pick was that juicy. I didn't think it was sexy, but I think you redeemed yourself. You did a good job with the Patriots pick. I thought that was, you know, pretty decent. I thought your Bucks pick was also okay. Like, why not? But
okay.
Okay, Drew.
I already, you know, sometimes as you're listening, you can see the writing on the wall.
So not only did Pete interrupt you, Rachel, he was juiceless to start. His best point came at the very end, and one of his other main points was just okay. But,
you know, and did you say, was the slogan like seriously one of the picks? I didn't know if that was like serious.
Trending down. Yeah. Trend down on any athlete that has to have a slogan and for years, and then you change it and you go to a new place. Now you have to have a new slogan. Trend down on slogan.
How many times has this happened?
Like,
it's just Russell Wilson. Like, you're.
That's what I'm saying. Trend down on Russ and trend down.
Okay,
on
well, at least call him out. Okay. I mean, like, quit the throwing this wide umbrella over. Like, it's just Russ.
Well,
but
when my Hawks have a better record than his Broncos, we'll see what happens, right?
Okay, I just needed to clarify on that one. I wrote it down, but I didn't know if you were like, if that was for real.
Trend down on my beard. I've started to see white. I got like white hairs down. I'm getting too old. Honestly. Trend down on my beard.
And RJ, I am going to give you MF double MVP because I actually really liked how you did the not so popular pick on the Bengals.
Let's go.
I thought that was a pretty good, strong argument.
That was his worst
I could see both. Ratio. No, I could see both sides, but I thought that was like for him to take that risk going with that pick, knowing that it wasn't super popular. I was like, okay, I'm gonna ride with it. So RJ is the winner.
Thank you, Rachel. Back to the review. We're here to be our authentic selves. You know what I mean? We're not here to just like, you know, placate to audiences like Pete with his like, I hate slogans. Pete hates corporate America. All right. I mean, just you know, it is what it is. Rachel, you did a phenomenal job. First of all, offering us your own stock up that Pete so rudely interrupted. You did a second of all, fantastic job of just existing and being here and gracing us with your presence. And third of all, you did a phenomenal job, in my humble opinion, at awarding the MF double MVP. I would like to split this award with the Bengals so that they can win something this year, because I don't think they're going to win anything else. So it is what it is. Pete, you got to know your audience. Rachel's a Ravens fan, so that's all I'm saying. Like, understand how to play this game. This is Baltimore's division to lose. The Bills are my AFC team, but you know what? I've got a little bit of love for the flock there as well. Wow, Pete, I don't know what to say. You show up after a month of hard work and grinding on the Xbox just to get destroyed here on Monday Football Monday.
You boxed me out, and I don't appreciate it. And I'm going to try to come back stronger next week. All right.
Okay, fair.
Pete, I do this at Blog on the Boys. I'm going to do it here. And I would like you to redeem yourself with this last opportunity. Michael Peterson did it once and did a pretty good job of it. But Pete, give us a random noise that no human being has ever heard as we sign out. It has to last at least 3 seconds. All right.
Okay, wait, already?
Yeah.
What a dumb noise.